got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black?
And when all right, welcome back. Someone... Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Wednesday, December 8, 2021. Go ahead, John.
Okay, well, like I said, I wanted to reach, either kick my TV out into the yard or reach to the screen and shake Joel Osteen and ask him what they got saved from, because he never told them about condemnation, hell, the resurrection, the blood, the cross, sin. He never mentioned it. But to kind of veer off a little bit here, I know that it's so simple to accept Christ that even a child can do it. It's very simple. But I also believe that with the heart a man believes and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the way that I take that personally for me, for John, is that I can believe it, but if I don't tell someone, I haven't got it. Because if you've got something that is so miraculous and so life transforming and so hell escaping and so judgment forgiving sin, and you don't tell anybody, but you can tell them all about football, basketball, baseball, the things that are in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you can't tell them, I don't think you really got it. You may believe you got it. I'm not your judge, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But for me, if I come across a Christian that's willing to confess and profess and witness to Christ or to another Christian, that's easy. But if you're in a group and you've got the answer to a person's problems and you know it's the answer and you don't give it to them, I got to wonder if you really got it. Because he says, if you're embarrassed, you know, before me or embarrassed to talk about me, I'm gonna not talk to my Father about you. I butchered that passage, but that's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to witness. Well, tell me what you would tell them if it was a Titans game. You could tell them all about it. Just tell them what he did for you. Tell them how he changed your life. And also, if you're not different than the world, if things haven't changed, if you're still doing the same things you were doing and you're not troubled by it, you're not repentant, John wouldn't have it. If I was living the way I did before I came to Christ, I would say I never came.
Okay, so
I haven't been to seminary. I haven't been to Christian college. I'm just talking like a truck driver that knows his life has been turned around.
Yeah. So can you hear me, John?
Just barely.
All right, so what Glenn said and what you're saying there and what you said earlier, sort of, I keep thinking about 1 John. And, you know, so 1 John chapter 3 in particular, you know, you see this word in the NASB 95, I know for sure, practices. Whoever, you know, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness, which reminds me of Matthew 24. Verse 7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, capital H. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Anyway, you see this, you know, going on. No one who is born of God practices sin. You see this word practice, you know, verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So this word practice, like you're saying, I mean, so you mentioned, you alluded to Romans 7, you know, Paul saying, that which I would, I do not, that which I do, I would not. And, you know, we all have those moments because, you know, we still live in a sinful, fallen world, but we're supposed to be being perfected in the image of Christ in this context. And so, you know, I feel like 1 John really sort of touches on what Glenn was saying and what you're saying about that. This idea of practicing sin or practicing righteousness.
And the thing is, Chris, is that when we do what we ought not, when we sin, when we're outside of God's will, when a word slips out or a thought enters our mind, we don't need anyone, no man to judge us, because the Holy Spirit is saying, John, what'd you do? And immediately I'm saying, as I'm going down the road, hey, forgive me, Lord, please forgive me. And he's righteous and just and willing to forgive if we'll confess. We're not perfect. And it, like I said before, if we could be perfect, if we could keep every law, if we could keep laws that we don't know about, that are laws in the Bible, we wouldn't need Christ. He's the only one that's righteous. His blood is the only thing that can make me guiltless.
And that's
before
why
him. Now, I may be guilty before man in a courtroom, and as far as there's no law against these things, well, maybe not yet, but they're sure working on it. You know, they're sure working on making, being, trying to be a righteous person, and
that's
call
the Noahide Kabbalistic influence, right? The Babylonian mystical influence.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's illegal to call a homosexual what they are, because now it's hate speech. That's a crime.
Yeah.
So they're trying to outlaw biblical
righteousness,
morality.
Yeah.
They're trying to outlaw. You can't tell anyone that they're wrong. There is no absolute. There is no absolutes. Are you absolutely sure?
Yeah.
And if you're not absolute, if you are, you're contradicting yourself. I mean, but these people are brilliant, Chris. They know what they're talking about. Professing themselves wise, they really couldn't become foolish, could they?
Nope. Not even. Yeah. Exactly.
Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, what is the truth? The exclusive truth is Christ Jesus. There's no truth outside of Jesus Christ. You take him out and tell me 2 and 2 is 4, but God had nothing to do with it. You're telling me a lie. If you tell me that the sun isn't in the sky, but the sun is there, or it's a result of an explosion. Yeah, it's there, but God didn't do it. It's not true.
Like Kent Hovind used to say, nothing exploded. So there was nothing, and nothing exploded. That's kind of interesting. Yeah.
When one of the rules is out of nothing, nothing comes.
Well, I would add to Kent Hovind's point about that, nothing exploded, and it didn't just explode, it exploded into perfection, perfect order. So go figure,
well,
when's the last time something
about
exploded in perfect order?
To kind of divert, Michio Kaku.
Yeah.
There, it started with the quark, and it was spinning, and all the matter and all the universes was in that quark, and it was spinning. Okay, I'll give you that, Michio. What made it spin? Well, we don't know. Okay, right. Michio, it was spinning, no cause, the uncaused cause. That makes sense to me. I guess
sure.
It does to you, Michio. What caused it to explode? I don't know.
Well, he knows.
Professing
know.
Themselves to be wise, they're foolish.
He's been
nothing.
To the mountaintop
then,
in a manner of speaking and looked over and seen that, you know, he has, I would say, played his hand. He believes in the God of Spinoza, he says so.
Well, and they all have.
Go.
It's just
and honestly,
to be.
I would say that's the same God that Joel Osteen worships. And I digress.
The sad part is Joel Osteen's father was a pretty good preacher.
Yeah.
Somehow the rock fell far from, or the apple fell far from the tree.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Thank you,
Thanks,
Chris.
Thanks, John. Much appreciated,
bye-bye.
As always. interesting how these broadcasts sort of unfold. Very interesting. So I want to actually, you know, for those who don't know, you know, obviously everybody who has called in, I believe, is familiar with the controversy. And this is not to pick on Joel Osteen. This is to draw a clear distinction so that people understand. And I think we've made a pretty clear case with the calls so far. So I want to do Joel Osteen, and then, you know, we'll contrast that with Oswald Chambers and the old guard, so to speak. You know, again, the idea is, as Robert Murray McShane put it, men return again and again to the few who have mastered the spiritual secret, whose life has been hid with Christ in God. These are of the old time religion, hung to the nails of the cross. And that, like I said, is always, that is the dividing line. That's the line. That's the line in the sand. That's it. You know, it's simple. Like Glenn and I were talking about, you know, Paul said it. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Not somebody, not some pal, not some wise teacher. No. Paul said it very succinctly. We preach Christ and Him crucified. There it is. There's the line. That's the line in the sand. And then, you know, therefore there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So that's it in a nutshell. I wonder if we can, looks like Skype has given us problems again. Looks like you can't see the message that I sent you, Julie, but, or haven't seen it yet. But can we play that Joel Osteen clip that's on too? By chance?
Millions of ways to be a human being. And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God. And her path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
But if you really look at both sides,
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
You say there isn't only one way. There is one way and only one way, and that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with
the
millions
of people. Because you say there isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
Hey, Oprah! Glad to have you! All right. Awesome to have you. We love you. We pray for you.
Okay, so here's the big question. Are there many paths to get to the one God?
Well, I believe, Oprah, that there... I believe that Jesus is the way to the one God. But I believe there are many paths to Jesus.
A false religion that borrows his name but creates a false God, and borrows the name of Christ but creates a false Christ, is the worst kind of blasphemy.
Why would anybody criticize you for preaching prosperity? Because what kind of God wants you to be poor and miserable?
That's the way I feel as well. I mean, I don't know who would say, you know, that you're not supposed to, you know, leave your children better than you were before. Plus, Oprah, prospering, it's not just, you know, material things. It's peace in your mind and health in your body and things like that. And so there's, a belief that you're supposed to suffer more and be poor and to show your humility. I don't see the Bible that way. I see that God came to, Jesus died that we might live an abundant life and to be a blessing to others. I can't be a big blessing to people who are poor and broke and depressed and I don't feel good about myself.
And I think preachers like this who preach this stuff hate the true God. I really believe it. I believe they hate the true God, and they are afraid to death that somebody might find out who he really is. And by the way, I've checked out the list, and I didn't find these things on the want list. Humility, brokenness, repentance, holiness, purity of heart, worship, sacrifice, unselfishness, sacrificial love. Not so much. What's on the list? Health, wealth, prosperity, success, all temporal, material things. You have been exposed to this lie, this deception, this pagan, pantheistic perspective that has been turned into a spiritual Ponzi scheme, making people at the top of the food chain rich, preying on the desires, the material, worldly desires of the people who want all this stuff. It comes under the name of the Word Faith Movement, Prosperity Gospel, name it and claim it.
Look, everybody is lamenting the fact that this country believes it's saved, when it's no more saved than it's as lost, as they say in Alabama, as a ball in tall grass. But no one wants to point to what the problem is. And the problem is, even when we preach the gospel correctly, then we go to this thing of how to invite him. It's not biblical or historical. We get them to jump through a few evangelical hoops and say yes to the appropriate questions, and we popishly pronounce them to be saved. And when they believe that false religious lie given by a religious authority, then when someone comes later and tries to preach the gospel to them because they're living in the world, they won't listen. Because a religious lie has so much power.
I feel like if I can be pure and feel good before God, that I don't have to, you know, I always want to listen to people and receive good criticism, but I just feel like I don't have to answer them. I have to answer to God. And so I just try to stay focused on what God's called me to do.
Because the God they've been worshiping is not the God of the Bible. It's a figment of their own imagination, a God they made with their mind, and then they worship what they made. And he looks more like Santa Claus than he does Yahweh. Now let me tell you something about false teachers. You think so many times that people fall prey to false teachers. And that, in a sense, can be true at times. But I think the dominant theme in Scripture is just the opposite. False teachers are God's judgment on people who don't want God, but in the name of religion plan on getting everything their carnal heart desires. That's why a Joel Osteen is raised up. Those people who sit under him are not victims of him. He is the judgment of God upon them because they want exactly what he wants, and it's not God. And you can line them all up along with him. That's where it is.
We have these large churches filled with many unconverted carnal people. But in those churches, we also have this small group of people that honestly want Christ, and they honestly want his word, and they honestly want to be transformed. They don't need anything else. All they need is true worship of the true God and Scripture being preached to them and lived out before them. That's what they want. Now, I want to tell you the great sin of the American pastor. And this has got me in a lot of trouble, but it's true. This small group of converted people in that local church, all they want is Jesus. And all they want to do is the right thing. They want purity. They want truth. They want Christ. But the pastor, in order to keep this larger group of unconverted people, he caters to them. So while he is feeding these carnal men and women with carnal things, he is letting the sheep of God starve to death, and he is going to stand before God one day in judgment.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
For ye are the temple of the living God. That's a real interesting side discussion in the COVID and post-COVID era, if there is a such a thing as the post-COVID era. Anyway, apologize for the music. It makes it a little difficult to hear what's going on there. That to me is a pretty succinct clip, though, that really kind of encapsulates what we were saying. Callers and I in the first hour and even into the second hour, John and I were talking about. So I will recap that, and then we will contrast that with Oswald Chambers when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719 extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. The good life, to be free to stare into the abyss, but maybe it's a cleverly packaged, slickly packaged Bernaysian marketing scheme. Anyway, to contrast... Well, before I contrast, just to recap that clip that we played, you know, hey, Oprah, maybe you wandered away from the faith. I mean, I think, you know, in those early days, before Oprah was a billionaire, I think, I don't know, maybe not. But I'm just going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say maybe you wandered away from the faith, Oprah. And so Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell all your possessions. Give to the poor. And, you know, he says, what do I have to do? And Jesus said, well, you know, sell all your stuff, give to the poor. You have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And so, you know, Oprah might say, but, you know, I can do so much good with it, with all this wealth. Really? Well, Mark 8:36, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And again, Osteen might say, but I have this giant outreach I can do so much good with. And Oprah might make a handsome donation, which coincidentally provides a generous tax break, of course, but don't, you know, pay no attention to that. And so to that, I would say 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not, you know, for what partnership do righteousness and lawlessness have, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And again, you know, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God does not want to take these talents that have been used for bad, you know, the things that the devil has used. God doesn't do that. In fact, he does the opposite. You know, 1 Corinthians 1 says that he uses the things that are not to confound the things that are. So I mentioned that. I think it was Monday. Mentioned it previously, 1 Corinthians 1, it's in there. So that's kind of a recap. And, you know, there are all of these justifications for things which are really just selfish and greedy and, I would say, lacking in virtue. You know, it's certainly not the kind of thing that you see in the embodiment of love, for example. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, and not what you'll read in Oswald Chambers, Almost for His Highest, whatever version you have. And I guess, you know what, maybe I'll say, because John pointed out, it's true, I don't know exactly how that works, and, you know, I've wanted to share my copy with folks. I don't know, maybe that's a benefit, maybe it's not, I haven't really done it. But, you know, to be able to send them out. But I know that they have different copies. This one that I have, I don't remember, I don't know when it was published, but it says, My Almost for His Highest Journal Selections for the Year, The Golden Book of Oswald Chambers by Barber Publishing. And this edition published by Special Arrangements, with and permission of Discovery House Publishers, copyright 1935 by Dodd, Mead & Company, Inc., copyright renewed 1963 by Oswald Chambers Publications Associated Limited. So there you go. How about ISBN for good measure? Leather Journal Edition, ISBN 1-55748-737-5. That's the one that I have. So for anyone interested, that's the one that I have had for many years. And, you know, it's still just a thing that man has written, but I have found it useful. And more than anything, it's to, again, to sort of draw this distinction that I've been trying to point out. You know, you read this kind of stuff and you go, oh, yeah, okay. All right. So when I hear this thing over here and it sounds fishy, I can compare it to this thing. It's another guy saying something that doesn't, it's like they're mutually exclusive and collectively exhaustive, as the attorneys like to say, effectively, you know? Even though they may draw from some of the same passages, still mutually exclusive, I would say. So I'll give you the Oswald Chambers entry that I have in my edition when we come back, and that'll be the contrast to the Osteen thing. Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back.
second, bottom of the second hour this Wednesday, December 8, 2021. I mean, who's going to say no to Aretha? Come on now. Seriously. So, that's fantastic. So, the Oswald Chambers entry as a juxtaposition to the Osteen thing. And, you know, again, it's not to pick on Osteen in particular. It's just to say, hey, there's a distinction. He represents one side of the distinction. I would call it the Kabbalistic influence side of the distinction. Then there's the other side. Like I said, that side is represented in what Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. It's that simple. That's where the line is. We unpacked that with the call so far, so I'm going to continue. So Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. My December 8 entry is The Impartial Power of God. Quoting Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So this is, as I said, you know, what follows is, you know, Oswald Chambers' entry, a mini sermon, if you will, the likes of which you will never hear at Lakewood so-called church. Not these days, anyway. Not with the guy who's, you know, the head celebrity these days, shall we say. So Chambers writes, we trample the blood of the Son of God underfoot if we think we are forgiven because we are sorry for our sins. Isn't that something? First sentence, we trample the blood of the Son of God underfoot if we think we are forgiven because we are sorry for our sins. The only explanation of forgiveness of God and of the unfathomable depth of his forgetting is the death of Jesus Christ. Our repentance is merely the outcome of our personal realization of the atonement, capital A, which he, capital H, has worked out for us. Christ Jesus is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. When we realize that Christ is made all this to us, the boundless joy of God begins. Wherever the joy of God is not present, the death sentence is at work. And so, you know, again, speaking of lost, broken, and hurting, I ask, you know, do you want joy or the death sentence? It does not matter who or what we are. There is absolute reinstatement into God by the death of Jesus Christ and by no other way, like Glenn mentioned, you know, the free gift. Not because Jesus Christ pleads. And I would add, not because we're fantastic, we're not, obviously, but because he died. Again, there's that. It is not earned, but accepted. All the pleading which deliberately refuses to recognize the cross is of no avail. It is battering at another door than the one which Jesus has opened, which reminds me of, you know, something about, for wide is the way and broad is the gate, but narrow is the way, you know, and few there be that find it. You know, again, a sort of technique of infamy, if you will. So it is battering at another door than the one which Jesus has opened that we're supposed to ask, seek, knock, and find. I don't want to come to that way. It is humiliating to be received as a sinner. There is none other name, he quotes. The apparent heartlessness of God, which really sort of speaks to, you know, the other side of this discussion, if you will, what people might categorize as the apparent heartlessness of God, as Oswald Chambers puts it. The apparent heartlessness of God is the expression of his real heart. There is boundless entrance in his way. We have forgiveness through his blood, quote unquote. Identification with the death of Jesus Christ means identification with him to the death of everything that never was in him. This is the antipode, I would parenthetically add, of the devil's counterfeit death to self, the Kabbalistic, you know, cultural Marxist deal. God is justified in saving bad men only as he makes them good. Our Lord does not pretend we are all right when we are all wrong. The atonement, again, capital A, is a propitiation. What a wonderful word. The atonement is a propitiation whereby God, through the death of Jesus, makes an unholy man holy. The propitiation. What a great word. You know, we don't have to throw any more virgins in the volcano, you know. The atonement is a propitiation whereby God, through the death of Jesus, makes an unholy man holy. So there you go. That's the juxtaposition. And, you know, I mentioned Richard Grannon talking about toxic yin. So, I want to give you that just as sort of, that's an encapsulated version of the kind of the esoteric side of this whole deal that I've tried to unpack. You know, there's the, I would categorize it generally as the Kabbalistic influence that is so pervasive these days, and you know, the biblical authentic. So there's this Kabbalistic counterfeit, and the biblical authentic is kind of how I would categorize it. And to speak to the counterfeit, I would sort of borrow from what Richard Grannon said. If you're interested, I probably not, but just for posterity's sake, I guess it was Richard Grannon's video on YouTube titled How to Tell If They're Abusive Narcissists or Professional Victims. It's like a 2-hour video, and about 45 minutes in, he talks about toxic yin and toxic yang. He says we're in a toxic yin phase, which is, you know, the female energy of, you know, Eastern mysticism, so to speak, toxic yin. And so I would, and that's an interesting thing. And there's been all of this effort, you know, from very, very high profile, powerful, influential individuals to really get us to adopt Eastern mystical sort of beliefs in a subtle and pervasive way that is really imperceptible to most here in the, you know, in America, we'll say. So to contrast this concept of toxic yin, I mean, think about it. And there are other folks I've talked about in the past, recently in particular, that have pointed out that women are in much more control, like in the boardroom around America, than most folks are mentally allowed to acknowledge. It's a really interesting thing once you start looking at that. I would call it kind of a Jezebel spirit, generally, is kind of how I would categorize it, but only to give it context. Anyway, it's an esoteric, you know, spiritual kind of thing. That's not to point at any particular person or anything. But here's the point. So this toxic yin is an interesting thing. I would call it spiritual warfare in simple terms. But the contrast to that really sort of reminds me of Nancy's call earlier in the first hour. And so 1 John 3:22 reads, "Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing to his sight or pleasing in his sight." So, you know, this is in contrast to the toxic yin, this might be, I don't know, sort of along the lines, don't get me wrong, don't get sideways on me, but, you know, it might be along the lines of the contrast that Grannon's talking about noble yang, for example. So anyway, the point is, it's interesting that, you know, this is a fatherly kind of thing. It's a beautiful picture. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, just like little children. You know, if you're a parent, you understand this concept. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So it's fascinating how, again, to me, the point I'm making is that toxic yin thing that Grant is pointing out is just more evidence of the, what I would call or categorize as spiritual warfare and the counterfeiting of the authentic. It's a fascinating thing. Last but not least, finally, I would say perhaps Jeff Allen put it best. And so in the interest of time, here's Jeff Allen. How reading the Bible changed me. Go ahead, please.
and I didn't know it at the time, but he says, we're on a golf course, and I'm asking him about money. I'm in this Ayn Rand phase, and I'm asking him about how do you make money? How do you accumulate wealth? And he says something, and I go, wow, that's brilliant. Where'd you hear that? He goes, it's in the Bible. I said, all right, whatever. You know, we're driving along, a couple holes go by, and I said, where'd you hear that? And he goes, it's in the Bible. And I go, come on, Phil, who reads the Bible? He said, I read it every day. I go, you're kidding me, right? And he goes, what do you mean? What's your problem? And I said, come on, God? Let alone God's word? Are you kidding me? You talk about archaic. He says, what's in the Bible that you don't think is true? I said, I don't know. I never read it. I'm an atheist. And he goes, no, you're not an atheist. You're a moron. I said, I don't understand that. And he said, well, let me give you the short answer. If you're going to be an atheist, Jeff, a true atheist has to have infinite knowledge of an infinite universe. In order to deny the existence of an omniscient being, you yourself have to be omniscient. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, Bertrand Russell learned that in a debate with Frederick Cobblestone, a Jesuit priest. He came out of that debate an agnostic. And he said, why don't you be an agnostic? And I said, what is that? He goes, you know this. You don't know. I said, run that by me again? He said, you know, you don't know. Why don't you allow for this much in this vast universe that you don't know? You don't even know what's on the other side of the sun. I said, of course I do. It's a three-pronged plug. And I told him, you don't know either. And he said, I believe that if you allow that crack, that God could work his way through that crack and reveal himself to you in a profound way. I believe that, and I'll sign you up for these Bible study tapes. And he sent me these tapes, and he sent me a Bible, and of course I didn't open them up. I didn't care. It was a year and a half went by. I had accumulated all these tapes and all these things, and my marriage falls apart, and Tammy's going to go back to Ohio. That's what she says. I'm going to Ohio. I said, we don't have any money for you to go back to Ohio. She says, you're not invited. My father's paying for the trip. I couldn't believe it. She didn't invite Mr. Sunshine on the trip. And before she left, she gathered up these tapes, threw them on the floor, and said, you either listen to these things or I'm throwing them out. I said, all right, I'll listen to it. I don't care, you know, whatever. She leaves, and I believe this with all of my heart, that when she walked out that door, I wasn't going to be married at the end of the summer, and I couldn't think of one thing to say to her, not one thing, to justify her staying with me. I knew she'd get around her family, and they would talk to her, chirp in her ear, tell her to drop the loser. You've given him 10 years. Let him go. And as she's walking out that door, I can't think of one thing to say, come on, give me another chance, let me go. I've had 1,000 chances. She walks out the door, a couple days go by, and I'm walking by those tapes, and that voice goes, open one up. I start to walk over, another voice says, there's nothing in there for you. I start to walk away, and another voice says, open one up. I start to walk back, there's nothing in there for you. Where does this struggle come from? I have opened tapes up my entire life, never had a problem. Go to Sam Goody's and open them up, just throw them right in the cassette player. I'm standing there looking at this pile of manila, and this struggle is going on. And at some point, a voice screams at me and says, it's biblical trash. It's just biblical trash. There's nothing in there for you. And I grab one, and I open it up, and I dump them on the floor, and I look at it. It was Ecclesiastes. Couldn't even pronounce it. Ecclesi-clasi. What is this? Got to get the Bible. That was in the junk drawer next to the divorce papers. And anybody who's got a junk drawer knows once something goes in, it never comes out. Until you get a shed, which is the suburban version of a junk drawer. So I put the tape in, and I got to tell you, there's a moment. And every believer in God, every believer in Christ has a moment. And this is my moment when that pastor threw that tape from Denton, Texas, said meaningless. The beginning of Ecclesiastes is meaningless. It's meaningless. It's vanities. Depending on the version you have, and all smoke from the message, but that resonated. Meaningless. What's meaningless? And life. That's it. This is in the Bible. And in 45 minutes, I got my life. It's Solomon, 78-year-old man, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes at the end of his life, and he's found out that God, with life without God, has no meaning. Without meaning, there is no purpose. Without purpose, suicide is your answer. And I went, wow, that's in the Bible. Wow, get that again, folks. Without God, no meaning. Without meaning, no purpose. Without purpose, suicide is your answer. That resonated with me. And I remember sharing this years later at a church, and somebody came up to me and go, I can't believe God used Ecclesiastes to lead you to his son. And I go, what do you mean? They go, such a cynical book. I go, well, you didn't know me like he knew me.
And there you go. Like I said, Jeff Allen probably said it best. I mean, leave it to a comedian to say it best. And then from there, you know, you have the death cult ideology and the Illuminized six-point plan, you know, encouraging folks to believe, you know, the voluptuous, you know, killing one's, the idea that the act of killing oneself afforded a certain voluptuous pleasure, right, is the way that the Illuminized crowd put it, according to guys like Robeson in Proofs of Conspiracy and echoed by Nesta Webster in World Revolution. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
When you were here before, I couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special.
Welcome back.
You're so very special.
Final segment of today's broadcast. The full excerpt from the citation from Nesta Webster's World Revolution reads, "Moreover, every effort was to be made to create discord not only between princes and their subjects, but between ministers and their secretaries, and even between parents and children." Sounds familiar today. Whilst suicide, speaking of what Jeff Allen was talking about, whilst suicide was to be encouraged by inculcating in men's minds the idea that the act of killing oneself afforded a certain voluptuous pleasure. So that's sick death cult type stuff, cultural Marxist type stuff. Back to the phones, Pat in Texas. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. Well, I was enjoying that, but I was reading about these women taking over this island of St. Martin's. Oh, well, I really wanted to say, when you played O Christmas Tree.
Mm-hmm. Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah. Our Ella Fitzgerald, whatever her name is. But the point is...
That was Aretha Franklin that we played.
Okay, maybe it was. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
no, it
the
was.
Point is...
For sure.
But the point is that that's forbidden in Jeremiah 10. That's,
right. And that's why I made that disclaimer at the outset of the broadcast. Yes, I've done lots of those shows. And
the outset of the broadcast. Okay. I'm sorry. I have to
definitely
start out. Okay. All right. Well, people can't get over that I don't have a Christmas tree or anything like that, but how can I get what it said in Jeremiah 10? Don't get a tree and nail it to the ground and decorate it with gold and silver.
Yep. Jeremiah 10, 2 through 4. Yep.
And the reason they put the presents underneath it is because that's what all the pagans did, because they knew God. The feet threw a tree when the leaves fell off, so they had to have a green tree, but it didn't fall off. And I don't know.
But kind of going back, I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it reminds me again of the conversation that Nancy and I were having earlier in the first hour. And I would just, again, I would lean on Titus 1:15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. So, I mean, to a child is kind of my point. You know, to the child, they don't know any of that stuff. And there is a nefarious influence that obviously wants to pollute the minds of children, and that's why we have this pagan influence. But there's a beautiful aspect, and the point is, if you listen to the clip of Aretha Franklin that we played, I allowed it to play through to that last little bit of the message that she gave, allow us to remember the actual reason for the season. So there's that.
Okay, well, that's mostly what I had to say. I did wonder why you don't like Rick Joyner. I mean, five kids don't agree with him. So what? They probably go to public school. But the Bible says, and if you train them up in the way they'll go, when they're old, they won't depart. Well, they may depart for many years.
Yeah, but I didn't know the prodigal.
And I've even
turned
up to Joel Osteen. I don't think he promotes homosexuality, and they got real mad with him over there.
Well, we're out of time. So appreciate the call, Pat, as always. Much appreciated, folks. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.